Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. Today, I will be talking about a stock that I came across while going through the Japan Company Handbook, and that stock is called Sankyo Frontier. Sankyo Frontier is one of the top-ranked firms engaged in the rental and sales of temporary modular buildings, including the ones that are used in construction sites. The sales of post-lease buildings as pre-owned properties are a lucrative business and make a strong contribution to the company's earnings. Sankyo Frontier is promoting the expansion of permanent modular buildings, which are larger than temporary buildings, and actively selling them to offices, sports facilities, and others. Here are some of the pictures of the products that Sankyo Frontier sells. Now that we have a brief understanding of Sankyo Frontier's business, let's review the company's fundamentals by focusing on its key ratios and find the intrinsic value of the company. So let's dive in and review Sankyo Frontier. Hey guys, let's start off by looking at the key ratios. I'm on Morningstar looking at Sankyo Frontier. Under key ratios, we have the financials. The first item on the list is the revenue. The revenue is the top line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that the company brings in via sales. Back in 2012, the company's revenue was about 29 billion yen. And for the year 2021, it was about 48 billion yen. Over the past 10 years, we can see that the company's revenue has been trending upwards. In fact, the company's revenue has been increasing every year for the past 10 years. Next, looking at the operating income. The operating income is what's left with the company once we subtract the cost of goods and operating expenses from the company's revenue. Back in 2012, the company's operating income was about 6.3 billion yen. And for the year 2021, it was about 7.9 billion yen. Sankyo Frontier's operating income has been increasing every year since 2014. Next, looking at the net income. The net income is the bottom line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that's left with the company once it pays for the cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes. Back in 2012, the company's net income was about 2.5 billion yen, and for the year 2021, it was about 5 billion yen. Similar to the trend seen with the company's operating income, the company's net income has also been increasing every year since 2014. After that, looking at the dividends per share. Back in 2012, the company paid out about 25 yen per share as dividend, and for the year 2021, it paid out about 120 yen per share as dividend. Over the past 10 years, the company has been consistently paying out dividends. In fact, it has been hiking its dividends in line with the increase in company's net income. The trend that we see with the company's dividends is certainly what we would want to see as shareholders, because when the company pays out dividends and when it hikes dividends, it is departing from the capital, and that's a way for the existing shareholders to regain the capital that they have invested in the company. Next is the shares outstanding. Back in 2012, the company had 11 million shares outstanding, and even today, the company has 11 million shares outstanding. Over the past 10 years, the company has not issued more shares. In other words, the company has not diluted the existing shareholders' ownership within the company over the past 10 years. Next is the book value per share. The book value is what we get when we subtract the company's total liabilities from its total assets. So essentially, it is the shareholders' equity. Back in 2012, the company's book value per share was about 1,640 yen per share. And for the trailing 12 months, it was about 3,599 yen per share. Over the past 10 years, the company's book value per share has always been positive, and the company's book value per share has been trending upwards. The positive part tells us that the company always had more assets and liabilities on its balance sheet, and the fact that the book value per share is increasing tells us that the proportion of the company's assets to its liabilities is increasing. Finally, looking at the free cash flow. The free cash flow is what we get when we subtract the capital spending from the company's operating cash flow. Back in 2012, the company's free cash flow was about 4,953 million yen. And for the year 2021, it was about 4,469 million yen. Ideally, we want to see the company's free cash flow to be positive and staying steady. And we can see that the company's free cash flow has been positive ever since 2016. I will be using the 2021 figure of 4,469 million yen for my discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Now let's look at the company's profitability, focusing on the net margin. The net margin is the ratio of the company's bottom line to its top line, so it compares the company's net income to its revenue. Back in 2012, the company's net margin was about 8.45%, and for the year 2021, it was about 10.63%. What this means is every $100 that the company made in the year 2021, by the time it paid for its cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes, it had $10.63 left as pure profit. Next, looking at the return on equity. The return on equity is the ratio of the company's net income to its shareholders' equity. Warren Buffett prefers to only invest in securities that have a return on equity of 8% or greater every year for the past 10 years. Back in 2012, the company's return on equity was about 14%, and for the year 2021, it was about 13.6%. Over the past 10 years, the company's return on equity has always been greater than 8%.
Finally, looking at the interest coverage. The interest coverage is the ratio of the company's income to its interest obligations. So it gives us an idea of how many times can the company pay off its interest obligations using its income in that calendar year. Back in 2012, the company's interest coverage was about 73.82 times, and for the year 2021, it was about 294.44 times. Benjamin Graham, the father of value investing, preferred to only invest in securities that had an interest coverage of 5 times or higher. Now let's look at the financial health and liquidity ratios, focusing on the current ratio. The current ratio compares the company's current assets to its current liabilities. Ideally, we want to see the company's current ratio to be greater than 1.0, as that tells us that the company has enough current assets to fulfill its current liabilities. Back in 2012, the company's current ratio was at 0.96, and for the latest quarter, it said 1.04. Next, looking at the quick ratio. The quick ratio is similar to the current ratio, except we disregard the inventory component. In other words, quick ratio is equal to current assets minus inventory divided by current liabilities. Ideally, we want to see the company's quick ratio to be greater than 1.0, as that tells us that the company does not have to rely on selling its inventory in order to fulfill its current liabilities. Back in 2012, the company's quick ratio was at 0.76, and for the latest quarter, it's at 0.72. These current and quick ratios seem to be the industry standard. Next, looking at the financial leverage. The financial leverage is the ratio of the company's total assets to its shareholders' equity. So a financial leverage of 1.0 tells us that all of the company's assets are bought through the shareholders' equity. A high financial leverage ratio tells us that more of the company's assets are financed via liabilities. Back in 2012, the company's financial leverage was at 1.89, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.59. Sankyo Frontier's financial leverage peaked out back in 2015, and ever since then, the financial leverage has been decreasing. Finally, looking at the debt to equity ratio, this ratio compares the company's total debt to its shareholders' equity. Ideally, we want the company's debt to equity ratio to be less than 1.0. It's even better if it's less than 0.5. What this means is we ideally want to see the company to have twice as much equity than debt on its balance sheet. Back in 2012, the company's debt to equity ratio was at 0.13, and for the latest quarter, it's also at 0.13. We can see that ever since 2017, the company's debt to equity ratio has been less than 0.5. Now let's look at the efficiency ratios. The first item on the list is the day sales outstanding. This number gives an idea of how many days go by from the day the company recognizes its sale to the day it actually receives cash for that service rendered. Back in 2012, the company's day sales outstanding was about 43.39 days, and for the year 2021, it was about 58.55 days. Ideally, we want the company's day sales outstanding number to be staying fairly consistent, and we can see that over the past few years, the company's day sales outstanding has hovered somewhere in the 60 days range. Next, looking at the day's inventory. This number gives an idea of how many days does Sankyo Frontiers' product sit in its inventory before it's sold. Back in 2012, the company's product sat in its inventory for about 31 days. And for the year 2021, it sat in its inventory for about 46 days. Ideally, we want to have the company's product sit in its inventory for as little time as possible because we want to have the company materialize that sale and show those numbers on the income statement rather than having its inventory sit on its balance sheet. In case of Sankyo Frontier, we can see that the company's day's inventory has hovered somewhere in the 40 to 50 days range. Next, looking at the payables period, this number gives an idea of how many days does the company take to pay its suppliers. Back in 2012, the company took about 68 days to pay its suppliers, and for the year 2021, it took about 23 days to pay its suppliers. Ideally, we want the company's payables period to be staying steady or decreasing. What we do not want to see is a company whose payables period is growing rapidly, as that tells us that the company may be trying to artificially inflate its cash flow numbers by holding on to its cash. However, in the case of Sankyo Frontier, we can see that the payables period has been trending downwards, which tells us that the management is not playing any accounting tricks on us. Finally, looking at the inventory turnover, this number gives an idea of how many times does the company's inventory go through its system in a calendar year. Back in 2012, the company's inventory went through its system about 11.81 times, and for the year 2021, it went through its system about 7.87 times. Ideally, we want to see the company's inventory turnover to be staying steady or increasing. And we can see that ever since 2018, the company's inventory turnover has been decreasing, which tells us that the company is becoming less efficient with going through its inventory. Now let's compare the company's current valuation to that of the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is the aggregate of the top 500 companies in the United States. The first item on the list is the price-to-earnings ratio. Sankyo Frontier has a PE of 9.9, whereas S&P 500 is at 25.3. The company's price to book is at 1.5, whereas S&P 500 is at 4.5. The company's price to sales is at 1.2, whereas S&P 500 is at 3.2. The company's price to cash flow is at 9.5, whereas S&P 500 is at 18.1. And finally, the dividend yield. Sankyo Frontier has a dividend yield of 2.7%, whereas S&P 500 is at 1.4%. So we can see that on all these valuation metrics, Sankyo Frontier is undervalued when compared to the S&P 500. Hey guys, now let's look at Sankyo Frontier's discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Over here, I pasted the company's 2021 free cash flow number that I got from Morningstar, which was 4,469 million yen. I'm assuming that the company's free cash flow will grow at 5% every year for the next 10 years. The company's discount rate, I'm assuming that to be 10%. What this means is I want this investment to give me a 10% return. I'm using a long-term growth rate of 3%. What this means is after the 10-year mark into perpetuity, I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 3%. The company has 11 million shares outstanding and has a long-term debt of 5,655 million yen. After taking all of these inputs into account, we get the company's intrinsic value to be about 6,243 yen per share. And when we compare this intrinsic value to the company's current stock price, which is at 5,240 yen per share, we can see that the company's current stock is trading about 16% below the company's intrinsic value. The way we calculate this intrinsic value is we look at what the free cash flows would be every year for the next 10 years. We sum up all those free cash flows, which come out to about 35 billion yen. Then we look at what the free cash flows would be after the 10-year mark into perpetuity. We sum all those up to get the intrinsic value to be about 74 billion yen. From this number, we subtract the long-term debt and divide by the shares outstanding to get the intrinsic value per share to be about 6,243 yen per share. Now, if you disregard the perpetuity component, in other words, if you think that Sankyo Frontier is only going to grow for the next 10 years and then it'll cease to exist, then we get the intrinsic value without the perpetuity to be about 2,660 yen per share. And finally, if you disregard the debt, in other words, if you think that Sankyo Frontier is going to grow into perpetuity, so there is no point for the company to worry about paying off its debt, then we get the intrinsic value without the debt to be about 6,757 yen per share. So overall, Sankyo Frontier has strong fundamentals, the company's debt is in control, the company has provided greater than 8% return every year for the past 10 years, the company has also hiked its dividends multiple times over the past 10 years, and has not diluted any of its shares. All of these goes to show that the company's management is aligned with its shareholders, and most importantly, the president of Sankyo Frontier, and the president is similar to the American CEO, has about 14% ownership of all the shares outstanding. This tells us that the company's management, the CEO, has interests that align with the company's shareholders. Hey guys, that is all I had for you this week. Hopefully you found this video on Sankyo Frontier interesting. If you like this content, please do like, share, comment, and subscribe. And if you have any suggestions on which Japanese stock I should review next, please leave it in the comment section below. I'll greatly appreciate it. Thank you.